Thumcast, episode 12. I'm here with Scott and Austin. Michael is not here tonight, so we're just going to talk about the Civil War quests. So I guess, Austin, you've finished all of this. I mean, I've done the quest both sides for both the Stormcloaks and the Imperials myself. I don't know, Scott, how much have you done on this one?
I've completed it for the Stormcloaks. I sided with the Ulfric, and I got all the way to the end, where I actually interrupted the game's script, and because I killed Tullius and the Legate, it crashed my game for the very first time.
I'm just surprised that you said for the very first time, but yeah, there's lots of possible glitches in the Civil War. I mean, we mentioned this early on in the podcast, but I'll bring it up again for completeness sake. If you accept the Jagan Crown quest, and then you don't actually take it anywhere, and you then go into the peace conference part of it, where you're going to bring everybody to the Greybeards, if you don't have Jagged Crown complete when you start Season on Ending, it'll glitch completely out. You won't be able to proceed any Civil War quest. It's just dead for you.
Yeah, that's why I did the main quest and got it done with before starting anything with the Civil War.
Yeah, you want to make sure that you've got all that stuff out of the way, and make sure that you proceed at least past Jagged Crown, because if you try to leave Jagged Crown hanging, and I did this completely by accident my first playthrough, that's just it, you're dead. Now, as far as how these things go, from my experience playing both quest lines through, it seems like they're awfully similar. I mean, you side with one side or the other after you get do their initial quest of prove your loyalty thing. And once you're there, what you do is you go to a bunch of forts with a small number of men, either Imperials or Stormcloaks, and you take over Fort 1, Fort 2, Fort 3. There's a whole bunch of those. I don't know if they're Radiant or scripted, but either way, they're awfully similar. You go to a fort, slaughter all the people there, and then the side you back decides to stock it with their own soldiers. And then finally you get to the end of it. And the end of it's going to depend, of course, on which way you've gone. You're either going to be taking Windhelm out, or you're going to be taking Whiterun out.
Solitude.
Now, although there is a difference, and that is that when you side with the Imperials, are there any cities you attack other than Windhelm at the end? Because I don't recall if
no.
there are any other. No, there aren't. Whereas when you do side with Ulfric, you're going to take Whiterun out very early on and then do the bunch of fort quests.
Is there, when you side with the Imperials, do you attack Whiterun?
Yeah, you attack.
You defend it if you're an Imperial.
Oh yeah, if you're an Imperial, you do that part of the quest. I suppose yeah, you don't attack Whiterun. You're defending it. Yes.
So there's a difference there.
Yeah, it's a slight difference, but yeah, there is the battle in Whiterun either way. So the other thing about this that that came to mind is when you're doing these quests, pretty much like I said, they're all very similar. You're going to take forts, and then you go to the very end. And I guess the ending, from what you said, Scott, is pretty scripted. If you interrupt people talking at the very end, when the bad guy, depending on your point of view, decides to give a speech, you just as soon let him finish his speech.
Yeah, I had to reload and let Tullius finish and Legate finish, and they had little options to do. I mean, basically there was a way to get rid of them, and you had to let the text options basically come up and let them do their thing. Otherwise, it crashed it. And it was funny because earlier, a different character had tried to do an evil overlord speech. He was kind of like, "Oh, I'm going to do this and kill blah blah blah," and I had just gone up and killed him, and it didn't really crash the game. So I thought I could do it again, but no.
Yeah, there's an interesting thing too about. If you side with the Imperial, not with the Imperials, if you side with the Stormcloaks, you're going to take Whiterun over, and you're going to eventually just, you know, you're going to replace the Jarl of Whiterun, because the Ulfric has decided that Balgruuf has essentially sided against him.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Well, there's another thing about that, though. There is a quest you can get where you're supposed to talk to the Jarl about his son, who's behaving oddly, and it's one of the Daedra quests. You can still apparently do that, even if you've deposed the Jarl of Whiterun.
Yeah, he's in solitude.
Yeah, he's in solitude in a dungeon. So if you have deposed him and you want to do that quest, you have to go find him in the dungeon, apparently. I haven't done that because the game where I did the Daedra quest, I had left him on the throne.
Yeah, I also don't like how the town Whiterun seems to have gone downhill. I mentioned to you on, you know, on the Skype how the War Maiden people were boycotting her, or at least they would if she wasn't married to a Nord.
Yeah, that's a problem. I mean, it's I don't know. It's just, there's enough. There's a little bit of flavor there on that, and you need to. I think they should have done more with it. In a sense, this is where they could have gone a little bit in the direction of the way BioWare does things, where they could have added a little more personality in this. So, I don't know. They could add a little more personality into this kind of thing and maybe add a little more context instead of just the odd comment here and there that if you're not a Nord, it sounds vaguely racist, and if you are a Nord, you're a kinsman. It seems to me they could have gone a little more into this. I don't know. It just seems a little bit shallow to me at that level.
Yeah, I did at least find one non-racist Nord in Windhelm.
Well, it's a small number. But getting back to the Civil War quest, the funny thing is how little, in other ways, and this gets back to the fact that the characterization is a little bit shallow in this game, but that's kind of par for the course for Bethesda. They do worlds, not the context stuff. After the Civil War is finished, you wander around various places in the world, and you talk to various people, and they'll talk about how the Civil War is bad for business. And you're like, dude, the Civil War is over. But
yeah.
they didn't update the scripts. It seems to me that they should have had a second set of scripts for some of these major characters, at least to recognize that the Civil War is over, because the game goes on after that. It's not like Fallout, you know, New Vegas, where once you're at the end, you're at the end.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to be the end for this game.
They probably just ran out of time.
Yeah, it's not that there should be an end. It's more that I wish they had done more scripting so that those characters understood in context that the Civil War was over and, you know, that's just the way it is. I don't know. In any case, the Civil War quest, I had one interesting problem with this on the PC. I'm playing both a PC game. It's actually on my Mac playing Parallels, but either way, I had an interesting thing where I thought it was a problem with Parallels, and I'd be curious to know if other people have run into this. In the fight for Whiterun, and I was siding with the Stormcloaks in this, I got there, and the fight seemed, suddenly everything just lagged like crazy. I was watching maybe one frame per second for a while, and I ended up having to, what's that?
Just saying, yikes, one frame per second, that's bad.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible. So I got, you know, it was down to just totally unplayable. So I finally got the keyboard's attention, hit escape, saved the game, shut down Windows, rebooted it. And actually, things were fine after that. What I was kind of curious about is if anybody else had run into anything like that. I've noticed in other big set-piece battles that there are a lot of moving parts around. In any dungeon, for instance, where there are a lot of monsters, I've noticed that in mob fights, the thing seems to bog down.
Water seems to bog my game down. I have actually managed two bigger battles okay, but water really slows it down for some reason.
By water, you mean things like creeks and streams, or? Okay. Yeah, I don't know if I've noticed that. I've just noticed that when I've been in big set-piece battles, in any of the dungeons that have a lot of monsters, or, like I said, in the Civil War, where in the Battle for Whiterun, you'll run into situations where there are a lot of people moving around, or for that matter, if you're in any of the Force, there are a lot of people moving around. I've noticed that things tend to lag in those cases.
Yeah, I've never really seen it lag that much, though.
Well, how big a... You probably have a higher-end PC than I have.
Yeah.
I'm running on a virtual machine, so I kind of figure there's a little bit of that I should expect. But, you know, Scott has an actual PC, and I guess a kind of older one, but...
Yeah, there are lag. Like, if I'm inside Breeze Home, everything's very smooth and nice. But if I go outside and, you know, of course, after the five-minute load screen, it does lag a bit. Especially, an Elder Dragon attacked Whiterun, so that definitely lagged things.
now, speaking of Elder Dragons, I have to relate this. This is an anecdote. It's not really related to the Civil War. I have this fairly awesome level 45 warrior that I've been playing. Actually, I don't know. A friend of mine just told me it wasn't really a warrior because he's got 85 sneak and he mostly uses a bow. So maybe he's not really a warrior. But
he's a ranger.
He's a ranger. Either way, I kind of look at him at this point as he's like Legolas because I slaughter everything with my bow. I don't even bother pulling out hand weapons anymore. But I went out to do the data quests. And I was out at, I guess it's Largabarshur, the orc stronghold that's having a problem. And I just arrived there, and I'm talking to the priestess about the problems they're having. And suddenly, a blood dragon and an ancient dragon simultaneously swoop down. I thought the Blood Dragon was tough enough, but the Ancient Dragon was a real pain in the neck. I finally, even with my character level 45 with some pretty impressive ebony armor that I had smithed up to legendary, I could not withstand the frost breath from that thing.
The legendary dragon, I mean the ancient dragons, they have 300 damage with just their bite.
Okay, well the bite was bad enough. I stayed the hell away from their bite. What I did is I got up on the walls and sniped it with my bow. But even that, when it decided to pay attention to me and breathed on me, I was taking damage like nobody's business.
Have you, do you have any perks in the ebony armor, or I'm sorry, heavy armor constellation?
Because only the juggernaut ones at the very bottom. I haven't done any of the others.
Yeah, because I can basically just stand in front of a dragon, in front of its like mouth, and just whack at it all day. It's like doesn't even really kill me anymore.
I put all my perks into the bow. This guy is as you describe him, a ranger. I can kill anything pretty much. The ancient dragon is the only thing I have any trouble with. I one, two, or three shot now. The Draugr Death Lords,
mm-hmm.
and even Dragon Priests, I kind of yawn at. They're not really much of a problem. It's really only the Ancient Dragons that are a problem for me.
The Draugrs are still my biggest problem, because they knock me back all the time.
Yeah, I took a perk that seems to solve that problem, but it's mostly with those guys. Since I have the sneak at 85, I go into crouch, they don't see me coming, and the first arrow reduces their health down by about 3/4.
Yeah, I just charge at them with a sword and a shield and hope they don't kill me.
Well, this other character that I'm playing, I just started one that I went through the Dark Brotherhood. Well, the next episode we'll talk more about the Dark Brotherhood quest, but I happen to be going through a dungeon with a bunch of Draugr. And I noticed with those guys, this character's wearing light leather armor, not much protection. So the only way I survived them was to stay in sneak mode the entire time, and snipe them, and then if they notice me, go into dual weapon mode. Because with dual weapons, if they don't notice me, I'm doing 12x damage. And, you know, 12x with dual weapon, you just slaughter almost anything.
Have you, Austin, you said that Tullius gave you good rewards for you helping him in the Civil War. I got, like, a very mixed bag of rewards. I got an ebony sword of fire and an ebony sword of leeching, and then I got a steel sword. So I don't, and of course a very podunk a set of armor for stormcloaks and stormcloak officers, which were like, eh. So that was a very mixed bag there.
When I joined the Legion, I got their heavy armor, which was pretty good. And then after I was done with the first mission, I got orcish armor that was like enchanted. Then I got an ebony sword, a Dwemer shield, I think a couple of sapphires, and I think a couple of other weapons, but I can't really remember because that was so long ago.
Yeah, I was just wondering about that because it felt very weird to get a steel sword next to an ebony sword. It just like didn't really make sense to me.
Yeah, well, the thing I did is I didn't even bother with the Legion armor. When I got that, I pretty much just left it be, because I had my own ebony armor that I had smithed up to legendary, so just like, yeah, Legion armor, what do I care? And I had enchanted it, too, so I, you know, have my boots that I enchanted to add the 25 to lifting, and I enchanted my, you know, stuff to give me fortified bow, so I actually have some pretty nice armor all by itself. I'm one perk away from being able to make the Dragonbone plate, which is what I'm really looking forward to. And but it's just that something came up here that we talked about on another version of the podcast, too, and that is that once you get to about level 40, it takes forever, literally forever, to level up. It just crawls.
I'm going to start trying to use some of those skills that I haven't been using, like blocking or pickpocketing, to see if that helps me level better.
It probably would. I noticed that I got one companion that I sought out just so that I could pay her for blocking skills in order to level up, and then use the glitch you can use to say, let me train 5 times, give you all this money, and then, oh, let me trade with you and take all the money back.
Yeah, I love that glitch.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, no, it's a great glitch, because I, in this this assassin-type character I'm playing now on the PC, I took Findall around and had him level me all the way up to 50 skill with bow, and, you know, never gave him, you know, never let him keep any of the gold. course, he can't get you past 50, but still, it was a very cheap way to get 50 archery.
There's another glitch to level up. If you get the muffle spell, you can just run around casting that, and you can level up your, I think it's illusion. You can just level that up to 100 by just using that one spell over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Well, okay, so you want to talk about glitches that way. I was watching my daughter play this afternoon, and she discovered an interesting way to level up on sneak, and that's that she got herself into a position where she would wander out of a corner and then, you know, slightly into view and then out, into view and then out, and every time she'd go back out, it leveled her sneak up. It was just the most bizarre thing. There are ways to exploit things in this game if you really want to. I don't know how much of that you want to do, but again, once you get into the levels like 40-something, it's really hard to level up, especially if you're using a skill that you spent the entire time pushing all the way up. You're not getting those level-up bonuses with it anymore.
Yeah. It's the last level wasn't that hard for me because I just did the muffle glitch and the money glitch. Okay. So it took me like 5 minutes to get the last level.
Oh, explain the money glitch again.
You get a follower from the companions. You ask them to train with you, and then you take your money back.
Oh, all right, that glitch. Okay, the one we just talked about. Okay. Yeah, the funny thing is, I have bled through... I feel like I've bled the companions dry. You know, I got Farkas killed very early on, and then I went through a dungeon with Vilkas, and I noticed, oh, he's dead now. You know, of course, I got Kodlak killed as part of the scripted part of that whole quest line. And then I had one of the other followers with me from there to do blocking, and she dropped dead in one of the dungeons. And I think the reason she dropped dead is that, technically speaking, I met her when I went into the Companions Hall when I was, like, level 18 or something. So I'm thinking that she's leveled at, like, 18, and there I am at 45, running across Draugr Whites and Death Lords and whatnot. And she died against a Falmer Gloom... what are they? Gloom Lurkers or something? Gloom Lurkers, whatever they're called. And, you know, she just couldn't stand it. That guy gave her one hit, and she was dead.
Speaking of companions, I think the Radiant Quests have brought Skajor back to life, the guy that was supposed to get killed by the Silver Hand, and all of a sudden he's back in the bunker place alive, and it's like, what the hell? And he's giving me quests.
You mentioned that. So you killed him off early in the game, and
yeah,
now he's back.
Yeah, and now he's back somehow from the dead. And he keeps telling me I have to prove myself, even though I'm the Harbinger now.
that's pretty funny. Now, there's another interesting thing. I don't know if this qualifies as a glitch or if I lost track or what. I was wandering the map trying to find one of the Daedra quest locations. You know, there are bits, because at this point, what I'm doing is just looking them up on the wiki and trying to go find the spot. And I was off looking for one, and suddenly I see this headless horseman riding along, an ethereal one, a ghost. I'm like, okay, well, I saw something like this in Oblivion. There was a quest in Oblivion where you saw a guy wandering by a coastline who's a ghost, and you're supposed to follow him, and then you do something, and you get some goodies.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Okay, so I figured this must be similar, so I decided I'll start following the headless horseman. And he's going halfway across Tamriel. Now, I get halfway across, I'm still following him down roads. I had to kill some skeevers, I had to kill a couple of wolves, and I didn't lose track of him. Finally, two cave bears attack me, and I couldn't just ignore them, because I was on foot. If I was on horseback, maybe I could have ignored them, but I was on foot, so I had to stop, kill the two cave bears, and then by the time I got done killing the two cave bears, the headless horseman was nowhere to be found. I don't know where he was. I have no idea what quest he was involved in. I could look it up on the wiki.
There's no quest. It's just one of those funny little, like, wild wasteland kind of things.
Oh, is that all it is?
Yeah, I found him. He was just standing at some crypt, and I stared at him for, like, 3 hours, like, game hours, waiting for him to walk, and then he was just standing there on his horse. He kept looking at me, even though he didn't have a head.
So basically, it's just like a wild wasteland thing in Fallout New Vegas. There's no there. It's just an Easter egg, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's disappointing. So I spent all this time following you. I literally tracked the bastard halfway across Tamriel or Skyrim, and nothing.
I wish we could show a little picture of the troll face going, if you came all this way for nothing, would you be mad?
Well, I was pretty upset. I mean, I was convinced that it was something like what I had in Oblivion, where you follow this ghost, and then you have to go find his body and free it from this horrible fate that he had. So you're supposed to actually do something. And I was pretty well convinced that it was the same kind of quest. But, you know, from what you're telling me, apparently it's just not. It's just nothing. Okay, awesome.
It's one of the 99 random encounters.
Okay. Okay, that's just great. All right. So, do any of you guys have anything else to add about the Civil War quest? I mean, the thing is, once it's done, the funny thing is, unlike the other quest lines you do, I guess the two main quests, if you finish the dragon quest, there are random dragons you have to kill, but there are no more things in the dragon quest line. With the Civil War quest, you finish it, there's no more stuff. There's, you can run across the random Stormcloak or Imperial camp and wipe them out, but there's nothing else going on. You know, if you did the Dark Brotherhood, there are ongoing Radiant quests you can do for them. I guess for the Thieves Guild, there are probably ongoing Radiant quests you can do for them.
Oh, God. Those are huge.
And you can ongoing Radiant quests for the Companions as well, apparently.
Yeah, you can. I married one of the Companions in the game that I'm playing as Warrior, so I have Ayala sitting in my house, and if I want a Radiant quest from her, I just ask.
I want to marry her, so I killed my wife, but now I can't marry her.
No, you have to go find another Amulet of Mara. That's what you have to do.
Another one? I have like five of them.
Yeah, but I think you have to do the whole quest line for the priesthood again, maybe. I don't know.
I went and talked to him. He's like, have a nice marriage or whatever. And like, my wife had been dead for like 2 weeks. So, I don't know what the heck's up. Probably just a glitch.
Okay, so maybe it just won't let you get married again. Maybe that's all there is to it.
Well, her brother sent bounty hunters after me.
What was this, Camilla?
Yeah, and then I walked into his shop, and he's like, hey, how you doing? And I set the contract on the desk, and then shot him in the knee with an arrow.
So he used to be an adventurer like you until he took an arrow to the knee.
Yeah, but he's not around to say that, like the guards.
Yeah, okay, so that's another thing that's kind of funny. I was watching my daughter play this afternoon, and she ran into this, I guess you can do this, have either of you guys done the quest in McCarth where you end up a prisoner in Sydney Mine?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I did that one, and there's a fairly straightforward way to go about this, where when you go into the Shrine of Talos in McCarth, there are three guards waiting for you, and the theory is instead of resisting them, you're supposed to say, fine, I'll go to prison. When you're in prison, you have a couple of choices to make, and I took the easy way out. I just slaughtered everybody in the mine, and then I walked out the end, and at the end, the Silverbloods are happy as heck that you slaughtered everybody. Say, oh, you did this great favor, and then they give you all your gear back, and then everything's peachy keen. My daughter, on the other hand, decided to side with the people in the mine, and then let them go free. So when she came out, the funny part about that seemed to be that when she went back to the Shrine of Talos, the three guards were waiting for you, and it seemed like it looped back on itself. I mean, I actually watched this happen. It looped back on itself and put her back into that same spot.
Because I did the entire thing you're supposed to do, and I went back, and there was no guards standing there.
Yeah, I didn't see that happen either. I was watching her play, and it was like watching it. It was like watching an old LP skip. It was right back where she left it. It's the most bizarre thing. I think it was just a glitch.
Yeah, there's a plenty of amount of glitches in this game.
Oh yeah, there are plenty of quests that can go wrong because of some bizarro choice you've made at some point in the game that's flipped a toggle somewhere and something weird happened.
I think part of my Civil War got glitched because on my status screen where you look at the quest lines that you've completed, it only says two, and I know that should be the main, that's indicating the main and the companions, but it's not indicating that I finished the Civil War. Part of my Civil War seems to be incomplete because it never registered that I saved a liberated Hawfinger, and it's just weird.
It did the same thing for me, so it's probably just one of those common glitches.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff like that. I mean, there's one in my miscellaneous quest that says I'm supposed to go back to Skold for a bounty payment. And I've already done that, but it didn't, even though it gave me the money, it didn't register that it was done. Bethesda has a ton of work to do on that stuff. And, you know, I don't know, based on how they did the Radiant AI thing for this, I don't know how easy it's going to be for them to fix this, because some of this stuff, it's got to be deep in the guts of the way they did that. And I just don't know how easy a time they're going to have debugging that.
The one quest they really have to fix is the Blood on the Ice quest. That one's getting a lot of people upset.
Okay, yeah, apparently I messed it up too.
It's the one where you.
That one is.
It's the one where you have to catch the Butcher in Windhelm, and then you get a house at the end.
Yeah.
That one's completely broken for me because I helped Imperials and not the Stormcloaks, and apparently it's scripted for just the Stormcloak soldiers to activate it.
Oh, so if you haven't done that one and you sided with the Imperials, it's just glitched out.
Yeah, but it's supposed to work both ways, but they didn't add the Imperial scripting to it. But like, they probably just forgot.
And for me, when I went to do the quest, apparently I had a choice of two people to talk to: this lady who was sitting in the tavern, and the curiosity shop owner. So I went to the shop owner, but his doors were locked because it was dark and it was night. So I went to the old lady and I talked to her, and she immediately, and somehow I jumped to pointing the fingers at the wizard, even though I hadn't any information on it yet at all. And so I had gone to the castle to talk to him, and I talked to the wizard, and the wizard's like, "No, it's this guy, or go to the stone quarter." And so I went in there and to the stone quarter, and I found the guy, and it was the curiosity shop owner, and I killed him. And then apparently I find out that I'm supposed to talk to the curiosity shop owner, and he's supposed to tell me that he thinks it's Wulfrad, the wizard, and that he'll take the amulet from me, which will turn it into the necromancer's amulet. But unfortunately, I didn't do that, so now the item is just sitting in my inventory saying strange amulet, because he was out, obviously, hunting women to kill. And, yeah, so that sucks.
See, yeah, that's another, that reminds me of another glitch in the game that's annoying as heck. And that is that no matter how you're playing, you have to make sure to keep adding stamina because of all the quest items that will start building up in your inventory that you can't drop.
Unless you're console.
Yeah, but if you're on the Xbox, that's not really an option.
That sucks.
Yeah. Another weird glitch is I did the Red Eagle's Fury miscellaneous quest, and I did that all the way through, and then I did the White File quest, and I had to go and get a heart from the guy that was carrying the Red Eagle's Fury sword before I killed him. So I went back there, and I got two more of them that I couldn't get out of my inventory. So now I have three of them.
And I'm about to do the Wi-Fi quest.
Well, I got one to drop. I think I just got lucky, and I got it to drop. But I still have one stuck in my inventory that I don't want.
Yeah, that's something I really hope they deal with, that one, because over time, especially for people on consoles, that stuff just builds up in your inventory and there's just nothing you can do about it.
Another thing is I found this random sword somewhere in some place, and so I'm like, oh, I'll just take this home. It had like a name on it, and I took it home and I tried to put it in the crate, and it's like, you can't remove a quest item from your inventory. And I would think that when you find something like that, it should activate the quest, so then you know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But now I just have a sword stuck in my inventory along with Red Eagle's Fury. And I don't know what to do with it at all.
There's a cave not far from that location where you have to find the other part of that quest. And I didn't do that by design, I just happened to stumble on it.
Well, this is a sword I found in some Dwemer ruin way at the other end of the map.
Maybe it's a Radiant AI thing as to where the sword appears then. I just happened to stumble on it right in the same neighborhood. Well, I guess on that note, we can probably take it out.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
All right. Well, missed an episode? You need to subscribe to the iTunes feed? Want to join the Facebook group? Want to join the Steam group? Find these links and more at www.jarober.com/thumcast. That's THUUMCAST.